Hello, everyone.
Blog
I'm Christine.
Talk Radio.
I keep forgetting they say Blog Talk Radio. Hello, everyone. I'm Chris Stainis, your host at Voices of Women. I'm the founder of Women of Wisdom, which has been presenting events for women since 1993. We're coming up on our 27th annual WOW conference here in Seattle. It's February 15th to the 17th. And I just want to share that our mission of Women of Wisdom, it's to empower the feminine dreams and spirits within all of us through authentic, intimate, transformative, and healing experiences where we share our stories, acknowledge our wisdom, and transform our personal and collective consciousness. So I invite you to check out our Women of Wisdom book as well, Women of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. It's a compilation of many of our women speakers we've had over the years and participants and their healing stories, lots of art and poetry. It's a fabulous book on the divine feminine. Check that out on our website and also the conference. Just go to womenofwisdom.org. And today's show, we'll be sharing about our 27th annual conference, which is coming up again, February 15th to the 17th in Seattle. Our theme is Spark Our Creative Fire, Dance in Power and Beauty. And my special guest today is Colleen Russell. She's the Artful Sage, author of The Feminine Path to Wholeness, Becoming a Conscious Queen. It's a women's empowerment and creativity coach, and her passion is helping women to find and live authentic lives. She holds a bachelor's degree in journalism and a master's in transpersonal psychology with an emphasis on women's studies and spiritual transformation. Colleen is a 2010 graduate of a Jungian-based three-year body-soul leadership training taught by Marian Women, who is actually one of our past favorite presenters back in 1995. She's a world-renowned leader in feminine studies. And Colleen regularly offers women's retreats and is a mixed media and soul collage artist. And her website is www.theartfulsage.com. She's giving a workshop on Saturday morning, February 16th, on Explore Your Story, Free Your Life. And stories that help us discover who we are and what makes us unique. And they're an important part of the WOW Conference, where a sacred container has been created for women to share their stories. And from that, there's been many healings for women. So Colleen's workshop is an important part of the conference this year. So welcome, Colleen. Colleen, are you there? I see you're there.
Yes, I am here. Is there a code I need to...
No, you're here. I think the microphone wasn't on. There's technology. Well, let's start with your story, how you got to where you are today, because that's part of what the book is about. What drove you to your inward journey to become conscious and whole? And particularly, what were the turning points that set you on your journey to wholeness?
Well, those are all very good questions, and I would say that by the time I graduated from high school, I was completely lost. I came of age during the 60s, and by the time I graduated, I was had gotten lost in the drugs, sex, rock and roll movement, and was pregnant at 17, had a baby shortly after I graduated at 18, and then I became a single mom for 12 years and trying to work my way out of poverty, put myself through college during that time. To say that I was lost is kind of an underscore of sorts. So I married at age 30 when my son was 12, and I was married for 5 years, and my husband died. He had a heart attack when we were skiing at Christmas Eve. And I would say that was a major turning point in my life because I ended up with a counselor who was conscious and knew about, women's empowerment and women's studies. And she took me under her wing. She helped me through grief, but she also put me onto my road of self-discovery and finding wholeness.
Yeah, so that's a couple of turning points, to have a baby at such a young age and then to lose your husband. So, That is something that usually gets people working on their lives. One other thing I want to bring out, because you have beautiful art that you've done throughout the book, and I would love for you to talk about how that informed you on your stories and your healing.
Well, I did not discover my artistic self until after I did the work with Marion Woodman, the Jungian analyst. And so that was many years into my journey. For most of my life, I thought I was not creative in the least. I worked in the corporate world. I worked in advertising, so I got to have a little creative expression. But I sort of always envied people that were creative. And when I was working with Marion, she and her other cohorts created a process where they use theater and the arts and voice work to help us access our shadow aspects and also to free ourselves from trauma. And after each exercise, we were to take art supplies and express that energy on paper. And while I was doing that, imagery started coming out in mine. And one of the facilitators mentioned that that must be one of my innate gifts. And so I started following the creative path, which eventually led me into classes and self-study mostly. And I feel that all the pictures in my book are representative of me in some way or some aspect of my journey. And although I didn't intentionally create pictures for my book, the paintings I were doing match the journey that I describe in my book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've looking through the book and seeing all the art, you can feel that transformation from having done, when you do those paintings. Mm-hmm. But let's get on about stories, so we can understand the importance to understand the stories that inform our lives. And perhaps you have some stories from the book of your own transformation too that would be of interest for people to hear.
Right. Well, I think the first important thing to know about stories is we come into the world and are informed by three stories. So the first story we inherit is when we are born into a certain geography, into a certain family, and the dynamics of that family. We each, no matter where we are born into, inherit the beliefs of that culture, the beliefs of that family. And we're not, when we are received in that family, we're not conscious enough to know what we're receiving. And then the second is the internal story that we begin to tell ourselves when we start going to school and we start learning about religion and we start comparing ourselves to others. We start to create an inner story about who we are. And that story can become very limiting if we do not become conscious about what we're saying to ourselves. But then there's this third story, which is the wise and authentic story of the soul. And so I would say that all of my work in the last 15 years really is about helping people to uncover that story, that old trauma, so that they can begin to find and access the authentic story of their lives. Because I feel that when we live from that story and from that place, our society is much happier. We're obviously much, much happier. And our lives change, and so do the lives around us. And when I think about my own coming to consciousness, I was ruled by those other two stories for probably the first half of my life. I'm now 63, and it wasn't until the death of my husband at 36 when I began working with that conscious therapist, for lack of a better word, was really the beginning point of looking at my family dynamics, looking about what about that worked for me, what about that did not work for me, and really beginning that search. And then I would also say, when I when I decided to get a degree in transpersonal psychology, that all of the work that I did in transpersonal psychology was about making my story conscious. So it was all about writing my experience of spirituality, how I got to where I was. It was about exploring through art. It was about exploring through clay, poetry. It was about learning about women and their journey and, you know, what did we inherit when we were born as a woman? And the beliefs of the society that we came into. So that was really helpful for me to have people who knew how to promote me to access those parts of myself. Self, period.
Well, you tell a lot of stories from your life in the book. And so perhaps you have one to share. Are they relatable to other women? How they relate to other women?
Okay, I'm just trying to think about some of the ones that I put in my story. I think I grew up in my family pretty much a people pleaser, and I believe that my life, I was here to serve others, and that was a big surprise to me when my counselor said, you know, you need to go find yourself. There was something about that resonated for me, but I didn't know what she was talking about because I thought I knew myself. I was successful. You know, I created a path, kind of a masculine path to success. And so I thought that was what was. And I thought that being loyal to my family, I'd already left Catholicism, which was didn't totally resonate with me, but I felt guilty about moving away from the beliefs of my family and my culture, but the more I began to explore with her encouragement, the more I began to understand that there was another way of knowing, and it was a woman's way of knowing, that deep inside, when we quiet our mind, we can begin to access this story of the soul, as I call it. And on my journey, after I worked with that counselor, I ended up taking a trip to Europe for 3 months to find out about my Irish ancestry. And I spent time at the Fintorn Foundation in a couple of workshops, one being called Uniting the Divided Self. And I began to understand that there was much more to me than the surface parts.
That's interesting that you say that, because I think in our culture right now, it feels like so much is on the surface, and we're so busy and we get distracted by everything that's out there, and don't take the time to go inward and to learn about those deeper parts of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And I think our lives are unhappier because I think when we're busy, and so many of our lives are busy, 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 that we're really working from a more masculine model, not from the gender perspective, but from the doing, let's say. And when we're not also equally being or connecting to our inner world, our lives are out of balance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's about balancing both. Because, yeah, we do have our to-do list. But I'm finding, it seems overwhelming, the to-do list. But if I relax and take things moment by moment and have my being time too, everything gets done. Mm-hmm. You know, I think because of the holidays and all, I felt good if I got one thing done that was my to-do type thing to do. I could go to bed feeling good about it and still have had a good day and took care of myself and everything, and realize that it's all getting done, to not worry and panic about that.
Yeah, I've had that experience too. It seems like time expands when you take time to do the things that nourish your soul. Then you come to that task that may be depleting if you were to just do one after another. And that it comes with more ease and grace for some reason. And I think, you know, the offering of the Women of Wisdom Conference is a way for women to come and tap into that inner part of themselves and to nourish that part. So when they go back into their doing worlds, they're more balanced.
And more in tune with what they want to move forward with. There's a lot, like I said, there's a lot of sharing of stories. There's a lot of sharing of our dreams. And then the witnessing that in that sharing, people are listening and they're supporting you and they're witnessing you. And so that it boosts you up. It empowers you to go, oh, yes, I can do this. Look at this other person did this. And you learn from each other. And so often you leave the conference moving forward with a clearer idea of your path or steps to get there. And so talking about steps, what are the elements of our stories that impact us? That you talked about some, like, you know, a family we're born into, but there's so many elements of our stories that impact us, that define us.
Sure. I can talk a little bit about those things. You know, I was just in Mexico, just got back on Sunday evening, and I grew up on the Oregon coast. So here I was in Baja, which is down in southern tip of Mexico, and the kind of the desert, even though it was watery, it was deserty. And because the sun shines so many days, I noticed that bull lived their life entirely different than the way that I was raised. We were kind of more like the Seattle weather, where it's cold and you tend to live more of your life indoors, and you're kind of always fighting the elements in a different way than the people in Mexico. You know, certainly when it gets hot, they are also. But so geography would be one thing. Did I grow up in a small town? Did I grow up in a city? And how did those things influence me? How did the place where I lived, the home where I lived, how did that influence me, the things that I think about? How did it influence my prosperity thoughts? How did I witness, if I had both a mother and father, how did I see that relationship unfolding? And how did that influence me? And if I were to look at my mother and my father as kind of windows into the masculine and feminine awareness that I might have inherited, you know, what are their strengths and their weaknesses that they had? Because we all come in with dark and light sides of ourselves, and certainly did our parents. And we experienced both of those. We experienced both their awarenesses and gifts, and we experienced it where they were unaware and maybe were harmed by that. So when we can make that conscious, that story, and I emphasize to not do it in a way that we get re-traumatized and caught in the story, but as Angelus Arian used to say, how do we make it a healing story? So I'm going to look at, in the workshop, we'll be looking at both the light and dark sides of these people, the places where we lived, and really cultivating the gifts and also the awareness of where we might become more conscious and maybe shift some of our beliefs and perspectives so that we're healthier. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so you're making me think of, you know, sometimes we just either are so anxious to get, you know, we go to college, we want to leave home, create our own life, and we move on to what that is and living in our current house. And we don't think about, well, the impact of those impressions that you're talking about, of the light and dark of all that, of the home you lived in and how that really still impacts you. You might have memories of, you might go to another home and all of a sudden you're feeling depressed in it. You're not realizing, oh, it's reminding me of my childhood home or something. Or, you know, there's still an impact that kind of goes unconscious. So you're talking about bringing it forward, and it's for healing, because it's still
right.
All those things still impact us, still define who we are, and how do we move if we want to move out of that and truly be fully ourselves, move into our destinies. And so that was another question I have for you, is how does knowing our stories help us step into our destinies?
It's another good question, Chris. And the way that I would answer that is, when we're unaware of our stories, we're being run by our stories. In other words, we think that this is all life is what we inherited and what we were taught to believe. And every once in a while, you know, something cracks that awareness, let's say. But when we're just living unconsciously with the story that we inherited, We often are met with fate. In other words, things happen to us or seem to happen to us that we don't quite understand, you know, like getting pregnant, the death of my husband. That those could all be things that seem like they just happened to me, and in some ways they did. And when I'm, so they come to us as what's considered fate. I think when we become conscious, we start to be able to direct the story of our lives a little bit more. So when we're conscious, we get to choose, does this fit with me? And then I can participate also as a co-creator with spirit, in identifying what are our gifts and what did we come to live, and then consciously finding ways to express those out in the world.
Yes, and in doing that takes a little exploration to find your gifts. And I think sometimes our unique gifts are in those unconscious stories that we've forgotten. You know, what were the passions when we were a child? What did we love to do?
Right.
And so tapping in. And I know the one of the ways that you're going to be doing this is through writing. In the workshop, I think art's another great way, like you did too. I'm wondering too, because you mentioned this too, of one of the things is, you know, letting go of the our negativity, our fears, our shame, blame that we've carried, and we as women have carried it for centuries, because I think it's in our DNA, it's, you know, it's through the ancestry and how we can, you know, so the cultural stories also that we women have inherited. How that
right.
impacts us.
Right. So I think making our stories conscious also moves into empowerment, because if we begin to really know what that story is, then we feel empowered that we can influence it or change it to some degree, that we're not just a victim of that, but we have some power within us to move the story forward in a different way. And I think in regards to women, you know, for me, I feel, and there's a chapter in the book that I just wrote, is we carry a version of the patriarch within ourselves. And the story that we carry around that is usually comes from the messages that we receive growing up from the men who influenced our lives. So our fathers, you know, maybe the fathers of the church, maybe the school principal, the teachers, they all influenced how we believe women need to be treated in the culture. And we carry that within inside our own psyches. And unless we make that conscious, my feeling is that we will sabotage and carry the patriarch just like anybody else, that women carry it. They're not just the victims, they're also the carriers of it, the messengers of it, because we are the ones also that are raising the children and teaching. And so we want to make sure that when we get to decide, and when we make our story conscious, we get to decide. Carl Jung said the fate of humanity really rests on the people becoming conscious. And what he meant by that, I believe, is that if we don't make our stories conscious, then we project it out onto everybody else. And it's all about them, and we don't see our part or our participation in the larger human story.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I think it's something we don't think about, of how we are, because you mentioned this, you know, how we are still carrying the patriarchy too. And those are the, a lot of times unconscious, but we've been programmed, so to speak. You know, we've had a lot of conditions, social, family, everything on in the patriarchy system, that it really takes looking at all these things. Like, why do I think this way? And why did I do that? And why did I say that? And why do I react to another person said this? And all those aspects that there's, you know, a lot of work for women to do too, that we need to own up to clearing those in order for us to bring the, I'm going to use the term, the new dawn, you know, in order to bring a new system into play that we're all looking for, we're all searching for. And it's not a pointing the finger and blaming men We can go back to history and blame all the patriarchy, and it's really quite complex. And it's good to look back at history, like, okay, where did all this come from? And mm-hmm. and then why is it still here? What is still holding this in place?
Mm-hmm. And when we start looking, we usually find certain beliefs. And, you know, if we start looking at our own beliefs that women should look this way and men should be this way and boys and girls this way, you know, do those make sense? And when we live into those beliefs, what are we creating? And how are we still believing that? So what making your stories conscious really does is it allows you to create a new story. Otherwise, you're just repeating the old story again and again and again and expecting to get different results. And that's where claiming that it gives us freedom to know our story. And it's also exciting, Chris, I think, when you start to look at your story not as just a personal story that unfolded, but you move up more into the mythic realm or the spiritual realm and see it as a larger spiritual journey or a mythic journey that's taking us someplace deeper and bigger than just the ordinary world would imply.
When you talk about the mythic journey, that what comes to mind is, you know, the heroine or heroes in our lives. You know, mm-hmm. there's that. And why is that important to become that?
To become the heroine of our own lives.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, I think the power is when you become conscious. And to become the heroine of our own lives is to, in my opinion, to go through those deep initiatory processes that are actually often quite painful. And as Carl Jung said, we don't become conscious usually without pain. So it's usually some kind of maybe divorce or this or that or death or loss of a job or illness or something that makes us pause enough to go, who am I and how do I make sense of this event? And so the heroine's journey is really the journey that takes us inward to, you know, in mythical realms, it's called the underworld, or in psychology language, it would be the unconscious. And in that place is where we meet maybe all the fears or the parts of ourselves that we put into the unconscious or underground because it was unacceptable to our family, or maybe the parts where we abandoned or rejected ourselves a million times to be able to fit in, to be accepted. And so our task as the heroine is to meet those forces within the psyche with love and respect. You know, I think of the myth of Inanna, where she had to, her sister Eriskigal, or the shadow part of herself, really need to be listened to, heard, and understood. And I think there's parts of all of us that go into an underground and need to be heard and understand and taken back. And when we take the heroine's journey, what we're really doing is making those parts of ourselves conscious again. And when we do that, there's an unlived life, or there's an unlived part of our potential that then can come into fruition. So James Hillman says, you know, that we all come in just like the acorn with an imprint of who we're supposed to be given the right potential. So when we take the heroine's journey, is we're kind of sorting and sifting the stories of our lives, healing the aspects of ourselves that have been hurt and wounded. And when we do that, it's like the water of life comes up then through our psyche, and more of those gifts that we came in to give are available to us. And that, to me, is the heroine's journey.
Well, let's get a little specific of what steps it takes. So we have some, you know, concrete advice for people who are listening, what steps to get to that place.
So the first thing, as I said, usually you're called into the underworld when something happens in your life or something isn't working, or you've run into a belief about yourself that is just causing havoc. So the first thing I would say is to pause and turn towards what it is that you're wanting to run away from, which is feels counterintuitive, I know. But if we think of these parts as rejected, abandoned parts of ourselves, or think about it as a small child self part of ourselves, and turn to it with that respect of, oh, this is a part that really needs to be listened to. So there's the pause. There's the intention to come and face it, and then to be attentive towards it with love as we would with a small child. And it's that loving, attentive awareness that transforms those parts of ourselves and brings them back to life in a healthy way. So when they're just down there in the unconscious because we've denied them, they're usually creating havoc, and sometimes they come out as compulsions, addictions, boredom, dissatisfaction with their lives. So when we find ourselves in those, it's an invitation to turn inward.
Yeah, well, that's where the journey is. That's where we find the answers, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And the other aspect is it of, you know, sharing our stories. As I said, that happens at Woman of Wisdom. One is exploring our stories, our intentions, our desires, and our stories that define us. How can sharing stories with trusted others, and that's important, trusted others, heal our lives?
Correct. And that is one thing we will be doing in the workshop is, you know, any time I do a journaling class, the invitation is always to read the writing piece out loud without necessarily needing any kind of, it's not about feedback, it's just to be witnessed. And I think when we share our stories from an honest place, we not only heal ourselves, but we heal others, because in the scheme of things, we're not all that different from each other. We may experience life, and our life stories are different, and the challenges that we have had, but we all experience shame, embarrassment, those inferior parts of ourselves, or what we think are inferior. And I notice when I witness other people's stories, I feel nothing but love for them. And the invitation is, can we bring that same kind of love to ourselves? So we probably don't want to be telling our stories to people that are in the story necessarily, because they might have their own triggers or their unhealed parts of themselves that may cause them to not be able to listen, or they go unconscious and you repeat the abandonment again. So it is really important that trust, that you find a trusted other, you know. And I have been a part of a 12-step group for years, and in the 12-step, that is a major part of the healing, is to A, take responsibility for your story, and that in some level, all the places where we hold resentments and that we played a part in it. And then to share that with a trusted other, and in that, we experience healing.
And others heal from hearing your story too, because what I found is, especially in the first, say, 10 years of Woman Wisdom, that there could feel a lot of isolation with women, and feeling, you'd mentioned, you know, the shame and fear and the guilt and all that comes up, that you're afraid to share your story, tell your story, and you think you're the only one. And when you hear other people's stories, you realize you're not the only one. And that gives you permission to also share, oh, that happened to me too. I didn't realize, you know, others felt this way, and it allows other people to share and talk. And so there's and even if they can't, they still are hearing that others are going through this and they're not alone. And with that comes healing for the other people. And I've witnessed that a lot.
I think we saw that a lot in the Me Too movement, of what happened with, you know, one person saying, hey, this happened to me. And then how many hundreds of thousands of women said Me Too. And that story had been in the collective shadow for how many years and centuries?
Yeah.
And so
not, yeah.
It's it's now in our awareness, and we need to make sure we don't blame and create it so it becomes a healing story.
Yeah, there's a difference there, isn't there? Because
we don't want to perpetuate victimhood.
Right. There's a saying, you know, if you're holding your finger out and pointing, there's three fingers pointing back to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that just means, you know, okay, look at your part in this. Look at what's your responsibility. You can't change other people. You can change yourself. And
right.
And as you change, because I think, you know, this is also a journey that benefits our families and our communities. So even if you're not having, you can't talk to your parents or your sister or your whoever it is. And you but if you're doing your work and talking to a trusted person, you're going to be changing. And that's going to have an impact mm-hmm. on those people that are around you. So you don't necessarily have to go to them and say, you know, this is how I felt growing up when you did this, blah, blah, blah. And because there's
right.
a real a fear and a danger in doing that. And unless you're ready to and the other person is ready to. But as you grow and change, because you have worked through it with a trusted person or within yourself,
mm-hmm.
you're going to change. And that's going to impact the dynamic between you and these other people in your life.
For sure. And I would add that, you know, you asked me about the paintings in my book. I did most of that work in the Marion Woodman, and most of my witnessing and mirroring came from the women who attended that kind of retreat. And so places like the Women of Wisdom, places where people are going for nourishment, women are going for nourishment and healing, are often great places to get that validation, that mirroring affirmation, perhaps. And what happens when you heal that story again is there's a vitality, a life force that can come through you that wasn't available when you're repressing all of those parts. And just by that very nature of that change, you're going to impact other people in your life by what they see you doing. They see it's a, like for me, people reflect back, wow, it's so inspiring what you're doing. I can only write this book and do these things because I did all of this work underneath of this. Otherwise, I would have never been able to do it because I've wanted to do it for many, many years. And my self-critic or the predator of the psyche killed it every time. And it wasn't until I did the healing work and told my story, and, you know, I suppose in writing my book, that's another way of gifting my story and giving people permission to tell their stories.
Yes, that's so true. Yes, that's and it's wonderful to read other people's books and other people's stories, and it opens the door for them to start looking at themselves. And you're going to be doing that in the workshop. I mean, you can tell from listening to you that the deep work that can happen in this workshop, because you're going to be creating the space for this to happen, a safe container.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we work in a circle. And it's in confidence, you know, that, you know, things are not shared outside that room so that people feel safe,
mm-hmm.
that they can talk. They know it's not going to be talked about elsewhere. It's one of the rules of circle work of being, you know, when you're in a deep experience like that. And so through the different things you're going to do in the workshop with writing and everything, and the sharing is going to have a deep impact on people. And that's why one of the reasons that we're having you at the conference, like I said, stories have been since day one, it wasn't even necessarily in our plan. We had a huge plan of all these, and they're still in place, of all the elements that we wanted to bring into Women of Wisdom. And from day
mm-hmm.
one came this aspect of it's a place for women to tell their story and to share and to connect with other women. And so
mm-hmm.
it's a unique place like that. And one of the reasons is our format is workshops are 3 hours long. It's not a regular, normal kind of conference where you sit in a room with 500 people and you listen to a speaker for an hour and then they have breakout sessions and you're still with 100 people listening to a speaker. And, you know, they might be some exercises, but ours are small and intimate. And it's experiential, and
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure you know that even the presenters get just as much out of it as the participants. You're sitting in there in the circle with everybody, and so having
For sure.
that time You know, having 3 hours gives you enough time to dive into it. People get so many ahas, and then they come away at, you know, the break time, like we're going to have we have a different format now where we have meals together. So you come away out of a 3 hour workshop and you're going to be 2 hours with everybody who've been in other workshops. And you'll be sitting with other people and having a meal. And then we have some interactive fun activities. We're going to have interplay. We're going to have some sound, nutrition, somebody who does sounding, fun things that are kind of get us in our body and moving, because you kind of need to after you sort of get in a deep place in a workshop. And so we're going to have that aspect, but the connections that's made in between the workshops are important too. And just a very much sense of a community. So that's something that I just wanted to share, the aspects of being at a conference such as Woman of Wisdom, where we really dive into the divine feminine and being in that path, you know, this feminine path to wholeness. Mm-hmm. The name of your book is like, that is what we do at Woman of Wisdom. And it creates, we've created a path, and everybody brings their story to that path. It's like this collective consciousness that comes together for a weekend, and it boosts us to go on to the rest of the year, you know, to it's so needed. Take that time away from our regular life. And so I thank you for that, for what you're going to bring to the conference. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Yeah. So everybody check out her book, The Feminine Path to Wholeness, Becoming a Conscious Queen. You can look at her website, theartfulsage.com. Her workshop is Saturday morning, February 16th. There's, you know, there's a choice of workshops. So there's four in each segment. And yes, you have to choose, but there's you'll resonate with one of them. There's a lot of different topics. And we also have some special events on Friday night. We're doing a musical with Florence that's by Pamela Gerke, one of our members. She's written musicals for us before that have been very powerful. And this one is on the life of Florence Nightingale, and it's her 200th birthday. And talk about a powerful woman back there 200 years ago who fought for the rights of people to have good health and clean health, and was battling the patriarchy, for who didn't believe it mattered that you had clean sheets and all that stuff. Anyway, that's a separate ticket for Friday night, and that is open to men. And so I invite people to participate, to join us for that. And we have a great, as I said, we have the meals, so it's Saturday night. We have a banquet, and we're going to have some great entertainment with Sikon Nemenye, is going to speak on her life journey, which is a very interesting and powerful one. She grew up in Burundi. And also Naomi Wachira, who's going to be singing. She's an Afro folk singer from the Seattle area, from Kenya. Fabulous singer. And so that's going to be a great evening. So I invite everybody to check it out on our website, womanofwisdom.org. And registration is open. We're getting ready for people. We're getting very excited. We're, I guess we're 5 weeks away. And time's going to go fast, so I encourage people to check out all the offerings and to register, because we actually, in our new format, we have limited space, and yet there's space for a lot of people. You know, it's going to be a nice full crowd, but I just encourage you to register early to get what you want out of the conference. And thanks again, Colleen, and we'll see you in February.
Thank you. I look forward to it, Chris. Thank you very much.
Okay. Okay, and I'll be on the back on the show next week with some more Women of Wisdom presenters. So I hope everybody has a great day and this upcoming weekend. Talk to you later.